This is Jason Peebles, and before we begin our fourth tape in this series on walking in your prophetic destiny, I wanted to jump back in the studio here and make some introductory comments in order to prepare the way for tape number four. Now, let me just quickly review in a nutshell. We've been talking about walking in your prophetic destiny, and we've really focused, if you would, on the nuts and bolts, the spiritual side of things. We've talked about your human spirit, the Holy Spirit, how your mind needs to tune into what the Holy Spirit already knows. And we've even covered the areas that we might call the speaking gifts, praying in the Spirit, learning to interpret your own prayer language, practicing that, and, of course, the realm of prophecy. So the Holy Spirit knows what's ahead, but here we are in the here and now. And we need to start making the kind of decisions and choices that will take us to that destiny that God has for us. So tape number four, and this is really what I want to alert you to, tape number four is more of a practical tape on the area of wisdom. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about wisdom. In fact, the Bible does not say that miracles are the principal thing. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Now, we certainly believe in miracles, but the whole point is the Bible puts emphasis on this subject of wisdom. So when we talk about your prophetic destiny, it's not enough just to know what God knows or even to discern the future. As accurate as we may be in that, we get back to the here and now. You know, we've got to start making the right kind of choices and the right kind of decisions today and tomorrow and the next day that will take us down that path of our prophetic destiny. So tape number four really gets into this whole realm of how to make a right choice, how to make right decisions, the importance of that. It also gets a little bit into the realm of pursuing counsel. You know, particularly when it comes to a major decision, a major life-altering, life-changing decision, then you want to make sure that you're tuning in not only to the voice of God, but to the timing of God and how to make those right decisions in order to get you to where God wants you to go. Now, also, I would like to just take a moment and mention several other tape series that we have. If you're a person who's really desiring to get into this area of the Holy Spirit, tuning into the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of areas here that run together. Let me mention to you some of the other albums that we have, and then simply call our 800 number, our toll-free 800 number that's there on the cassette album itself, or I think it's also actually printed on the individual cassette labels. But you can call and inquire about the price and the length of these tapes. But here's some titles that you may want to jot down and order them in order to enhance your study. For instance, we have one set entitled Principles of Divine Guidance, an excellent four-tape album. As you can see, that ties into discerning the prophetic destiny that God has for your life. Well, of course, that gets into guidance. So we have a whole set dedicated to Principles of Divine Guidance. We have two sets on the voice of God. One is entitled Activating the Voice of God. Activating the Voice of God, that's four tapes. And then there's another four-tape album entitled Discerning the Voice of God. So the first tape set focuses on how can you begin to start and crank up the voice of God to a greater degree in your life. And the second one, Discerning the Voice of God, gets into, okay, you think you've heard God, how do you prove it? How do you test it? How do you really know that thing's from God? And so these are some albums that kind of run parallel to this subject, not the same material, but parallel to this subject that I think could help you immensely if you desire to pursue further additional information that we have. All right, here we go with tape number four in our album, Walking in Your Prophetic Destiny, focusing on the subject of wisdom.
You know, life, one way you could look at life is a series of choices, isn't it? And then even a more sobering thought, and one that may make you glad or may make you sad, depending on what you have right now, is this, that where you are today, I want you to think about this, where you are today in your life, spiritually, family-wise, financially, where you are today is a result of choices that you've made in the past. Now, many times I don't like to think like that because I say, dear God, I can't be this dumb. Amen, you know. But where you are today is a result of decisions and choices that you've made in the past. Right choices bring good and right results. Bad choices, bad decisions bring you bad results and bad things But praise God, I've got good news for you. I don't care where you sit today, what experience you're having today, you start making right choices and right decisions, it will cancel out bad choices and bad decisions that you've had in your past. Now, is that good? Now, let's look at this verse that's so powerful out of Deuteronomy 30. You ought to put this one in yellow. Amen. You ought to put this in yellow, pink, purple, and all those fluorescent colors. Amen. Verse 19. Chapter 30, verse 19. Moses says, really, actually, God through Moses, I call heaven and earth. Would you mark those two spheres, heaven and earth, those two realms? There's powers in heaven, and there's powers in earth that understand probably better than we do what we're going to be expounding upon this morning and this evening. They understand the power of choice. And he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, or on your behalf, let's put it that way, on your behalf, that I have set before you life and death. See, there's life, there's door A. Door A is life, and door B is death. He says, I've set before you life and death. And he comes at it from another angle, blessing and cursing. So door A is life. Everybody say life.
Life.
See, everybody say blessing.
Blessing.
See, and door B is death. Everybody say death.
Death.
Everybody say cursing.
Cursing.
So we could title this, Making Right Choices, Blessings or Curses? Question mark. He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day on your behalf or against you, or to record, you see, to bear witness of what you're going to do. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Would you please mark this in your Bible? Mark every word. Therefore, choose life. Well, you need to mark that. Therefore, choose life. Say it with me. Therefore, choose life. Now, we live in a society that would absolutely try to convince you that your life is not up to you. See, I didn't grow up yesterday, amen? You can look at me and tell me that. I didn't grow up yesterday. And I tell you, some sociologists would take this thing so far to actually imply that your life is out of your control. You're simply a product of your environment. The totality of everything that's happened around to you determines and dictates where you're going and what you have. And I want you to tell you, that's hogwash in God's eyes.
Amen.
The Bible says you have the power to choose. You say, well, Jason, that's simple. That is simple, but it is so profound. Would you say it with me? I have the power to choose my destiny. I believe that. I hope you believe that. Because if you don't believe that, then you're deceived. God did not create a race of robots. Hallelujah. God did not create a race of people that had to be programmed with a computer or programmed with a tape and simply do what He demands of them to do. God gave us a choice all the way from salvation into the will of God. And He says, if you want to choose door B, then I've given you that power, I've given you that right, but I want to give you a great suggestion, choose life. How many of you ever had teachers that would give you the questions? Occasionally they would do this, not very much. But the test, you know, coming the next day, sometimes if they wanted everybody to make a good grade and try to get the curve going, you know, they'd give you the questions the day before. Anybody ever had that experience? Amen. I like teachers like that, don't you? I mean, you'd have to be an absolutely idiot, absolute moron, not to pass a test like that. Amen. And so the teacher passed out the handout and says, now students, these are the exact questions that will appear upon the test tomorrow. Let me encourage you with everything that I can. Go home and research these. Commit them to memory. And tomorrow when you come in, everybody ought to make 100. Now, as I said, you'd have to be an absolute idiot to flunk a test like that. Now, God, in a sense, you know, He said, guys, I'm giving you the test question ahead of time. I'm telling you, there's life and there's death. There's blessing and there's cursing. Now, in case you're just not real smart, let me tell you the answer. Choose life! Amen. Praise God. How many of you want life?
Amen.
How many of you want blessings?
Amen.
See, I don't believe there's any sane person that you would interview on the street and just say, hello, what's your name? My name's George, or Betty, you know, Bob, or Sue. What would you like out of life? I'll tell you what, I'm seeking death as hard as I can. I'll tell you, I want a miserable existence. I'd like to have curses. Have you seen them walking around? I'm looking for the curses. I'll tell you, I'd like to just have mental anxiety and torment. You know, I'm just bored. I'd like a little torment. That's what I'm looking for. I'd like to... I've got so much money. I'm trying to lose it all. I don't know what to... I'd like to be poor. Sickness. You seen any sickness going around today? And I say, we laugh. That's absolutely ridiculous. But in a sense, because we live in a society that bombards us with this false philosophy. I'll tell you, there's two philosophies that I hate. One philosophy is that you're just a product of your environment. Well, certainly your past influences you. I'm not teaching contrary to that. But I want you to know, your future does not have to be dictated by your past. I want to say it again. Your future does not have to be dictated by your past. I heard it put this way by one guy, and I hope this doesn't offend any church spirits here, you know. If they are, maybe I need to offend them, praise God. But one guy said, you know, you really can't help what hand of cards is dealt to you. You can't help that, but if you play it right, you'll win anyway. I like that. See, maybe you grew up in a home where there was verbal abuse or an alcoholic a parent, or maybe you didn't have parents and you went from foster home to foster home, or worse scenarios than that, abused physically or verbally constantly. Well, you know, I'm sorry, that's bad. That wasn't God's will, that was the devil, you see, that was working through flesh and blood people. But I want you to know, once you come of age, you begin to realize, I've got the power of choice. Bless God, you can do something about it. You can say, hey, I'm coming out of door B and slam the door on that, and I'm going over here and opening door A, where there's life and there's blessing. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to write this down. You say, Jason, these are such basic things. I tell you, they are so basic, but I really have come to believe this. Champions major on the basics. Champions are people who major on the basics. Majoring on the basics. You write this down. Right choices bring good results. I know you know that, if you stop to think about it, but I want you to really stop and think about it. Right choices bring good results. Bad choices bring bad results. Now let's read the rest of this context here. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life. Now look what it says. Therefore choose life, but that both thou and thy seed. Would you circle that? Circle the word thou, and then circle the word thy seed. That both thou and thy seed may live. Did you know the choices that you make have ripple effects? Would you write that down? See, another fallacy. I'll be like, well, if I make a wrong choice, it'll only hurt me. That's a lie from hell. If you make wrong choices, it's not just going to affect you. I promise you, it will affect those around you. Particularly in a family situation, you see. If you make contrary-wise, if you make good decisions, if you make decisions based on the Word of God, upon what the Spirit of God is saying to you, then it's going to have good effects, ripple effects. The blessings will be ongoing and touch those that are around you. And so one of the ways to give your children a head start is make right choices and right decisions based on the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And I'll tell you what, some of the wrong choices that they will end up making will be canceled out because you have made right choices, and your ripples will overcome theirs, and they'll get back on the right path. Now somebody ought to say praise God on that one. Amen. I'm preaching myself happy here. Hallelujah. Happier, I should say. Look at verse 20. He says that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice. Now I want you to circle the phrase obey His voice, because you'll never be able to make right choices and right decisions unless you learn to hear the voice of God. I want to say it again. You'll never be able to make right choices and right decisions unless you learn to hear the voice of God. Because the first question that comes, well, what's right? You know, what's right? What would you call a good decision, Jason, or a good choice? I mean, who's to say what's right? I'll tell you who's to say what's right. God is to say. And so if you'll begin to know God's voice, how do you do that? You start studying the Bible. Saturate yourself in the Bible. Keep yourself in the Word of God. Keep yourself fresh in the Word of God. Get into psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Learn to hear the spoken voice, the rhema voice of God in your spirit and in your mind, because there's a lot of things you're not going to find in the Bible. Amen. See, you go to look at what kind of car should I have? Well, you're not going to find... Oh, there it is, first Ford right there. Hallelujah. You're not going to find that. Or a job. Let's see, job. Oh, there it is, J-O-B, right there. Hallelujah. The book of Job. No, that's Job. Hallelujah. And so there are many things that you'll face in life that the Bible will not specify. But this wisdom will be applied to you by God's Spirit to meet every situation. Now, another thing I want you to see is heaven and earth will respond to your decisions. You need to write this down. He said, I call heaven and earth to record. The powers of heaven and the powers of earth will respond to whatever decision you make to enforce them. I want to tell you, there are demons and devils in the wings waiting for you to make wrong choices. And I tell you what, they will absolutely fly into motion to try to bring that to pass and enforce that upon your life and the life of others. And then there's God's angels. There's God's ministering, flaming spirits that are just waiting for you to utter the Word of God, prayers unto God, to find the will of God, and they will fly into motion to fight those devils back and to cancel out any bad decisions you made in the past and enforce in your life the choices that you've made for life and blessings. So you see, when you make a choice, it's more than just something internal. When you make a choice and begin to act on that, the powers of heaven and the powers of earth go into motion to begin to orchestrate and bring this about. To bring this about. Choices are so, so important. Now, the context of this is very interesting to me. The context of this is really faith. Everybody say faith. You should be making choices of faith. How do I know the context of this is faith? Because this is the very passage the Holy Ghost used to give Paul his revelation on faith. In fact, this passage is quoted in Romans. Romans chapter 10. We won't turn to it. Romans chapter 10, where Paul begins to talk about the word is nigh thee and so forth. Where did he get that from? Deuteronomy. Look in Deuteronomy 30. Just back up a few verses. Look at verse 11. See, this is quoted. This is quoted over in the book of Romans, chapter 30, verse 11. For this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven to bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Now mark this. But the word... Everybody say the word.
Word.
All right, the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Oh, that's familiar, isn't it? See, Paul quotes that over in Romans. He says, hey, it's not tough. It's not hard. God has not made it complicated. It's closer to you than your own breath. What is closer? God. God's Spirit. So if you're going to make right choices and right decisions, you've got to get to know God. Now, we have a whole generation, I really believe, of many Christians who know the Bible, but they don't know God. Did that kind of go over some of your head? Or around it? Or under it or something? I want to say it again. There are many, many people in our generation that know the Bible, but they really don't know God.
Amen.
See, it'd be one thing to know all about my wife, to read her physical description, the color of her hair, the color of her eyes. To know her social security number, to be able to quote that, to tell you what school she went to, how she did in a certain course. You could even maybe begin to anticipate how she would make a decision in a certain area. That's a whole different thing than living with her. Amen. And you don't get to live with her, I do. Praise God. Write that down if y'all don't know that. See? And I'll tell you what, in living with your wife, and those of you that get married know this is true, you can begin to think like they do. Might even begin to look like him. Now, for me, that's good. Amen. Praise God. I look more pretty. Amen. Praise God. Martha has to cancel out the other way, you see, with her right choices. Amen. Praise God. But I'll tell you what, you live with somebody that you can begin to think like they do and anticipate exactly, precisely what they would do in any given situation because you know them. And he's saying here, in order for you to make right choices, right decisions, you got to know God. You got to know God. Read on. I tell you, it gets gooder and gooder, better and better. Verse 15. See, I have set before you this day life and good. Everybody say life and good.
Life.
Everybody say, that's for me.
That's for me.
Ooh, I'll take that. He says, and death and evil. Everybody say, that's not for me.
Not for me.
All right. Verse 16. And that I command thee this day, do you see this? Mark it. See, if you're going to have life and good, you're going to have to do something. You have to love God. Yeah, you're going to have to know the Bible. You're going to have to know His voice and so forth. But you're going to have to, the bottom line is you have to love God. And out of that love, that out of that white hot love affair with God, you're going to get to know His Word. You're going to get to know His voice. But it's going to be based on, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. You get to the point where your priority in life is not your business prospering, though obviously you want that to prosper, and God does. That's not the top priority. Your top priority, you see, my top priority is not even to be a good husband or to be a good daddy. Of course, that's in there. But my top priority is I want to love God and be close to God, because if I stay close to God and know Him, knowing His Word, knowing His voice, then I'll be good in all those other areas. All right. Verse 16, and then I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgment, that thou mayest live. Would you mark this? That thou mayest live and multiply. How many of you want to live? Raise your hand. Amen. Praise God. Live and multiply, and the Lord thy God may bless thee. Mark that. That's a good one. Bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear. Circle the word hear. So you're going to have to get where you can hear. Hear. But shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish. You, mark this, you shall not prolong your days upon the land. Now that verse does not say God's going to hunt you down and destroy you because you made a wrong choice. It says you will not prolong your days upon the land. Let me just put it the way I can understand it. You'll shoot yourself in the foot. I tell you, so many people ball and swallow. Oh God, I don't know why God allowed this. Well, God allows what you allow. I said, God allows what you allow. You find a nation that has a corrupt government and all kind of misdeeds and being perpetrated upon the people, but you find a people that will start praying and rise up within their own thinking and mind, they can change that whole nation around. They, many times for their lack of doing anything, they allow evil people to get in control. And the Bible warns us of that over in Romans, I believe it's chapter 13. It warns us about that. Chapter 11. He says, you better do good. So the godly ministers and godly government people can be raised up into a land. How many believe prayer changes things? Amen. Well, see, prayer goes on a decision. You can't pray unless you've got a desire. I'll even go this far. You can't have faith unless you have a desire. Whatsoever thing you desire, praying, believing, you shall receive them. So desire, choices, decisions are so, so very important. And I tell you, young people, listen to me, especially young people. See, older people, you get down the road and you make some wrong decisions and you realize, hey, making wrong decisions brings bad things. Making good decisions brings good things. Young people many times can't see that. I was at a meeting not too long ago down in Florida, and this, I guess he was about 20 years old, fella stood up and they said, does anybody have a testimony? It was a very small church, so they could have time for testimonies. Over. Anybody have a testimony? This guy stands up and he started crying, and God's Spirit obviously had dealt with him and was dealing with him. And he was talking about how he had to break up with his girlfriend, you know, the night before. And to him, that was important. He said, you know, I thought this was the one. I mean, his heart, little heart was just torn out, you know, torn out of frame. But he said, you know, God told me that this was not the one. And that if I persisted in this, I was going to have bad results. I'm just prepared. Bad results. Bad things are going to happen. But if I would obey God in this, then He would bless my future. Well, everybody went, glory to God, and rejoiced with him. Well, the interesting thing was, after the meeting was over, he came up to me. Now, he had just given testimony about it. Amen? He knew what to do. Everybody say, he knew what to do. Everybody say, he knew what was right. I mean, I'm just basing that on the fact that the Spirit of God had dealt with him to stand up like that. He comes up after me and says, Brother Peebles, didn't know me from Adam. Brother Peebles, what do you think I ought to do in that situation? Brother Peebles, what do you think I ought to do in that situation? I said, excuse me? He said, you finally get to a certain age in your life where you just don't have time to waste, amen? Can't be nice all the time. Just box him in the ear. Boom, what do you think you're supposed to do? Idiot, go back and get the tape and listen to it. I was a little nicer than that. I said, well, I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. Obey what you know God has told you. He said, well, I'm just not sure. I said, look, you stood up publicly, and I bear witness with the Spirit of God was dealing with you on that. I said, now you need to follow through and maintain that course and that decision, or you're going to have problems. You'll shoot yourself in the foot. I said, don't violate that which God has spoken in your heart to do. Amen? Now, when you act in that, then you're going in faith. To back up and to go over here, you're not going in faith and you're not going to have the blessing. And you're not going to have life. Are you getting anything out of this? All right, let's read on. Verse 18, you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. If you didn't mark it early, do it. Therefore, choose life. You see, I'm a pilot. I fly an airplane, and praise God for it. For many years, we drove everywhere in a van, and I just finally said, I'm not built for this. Amen. So I went to the Bible and I found out God flies. Hallelujah. Don't say He drives, does it? Amen. Praise God. He flies. So I said, good enough for me. And God's been very gracious. We've got an airplane. And so I usually, most weekends, unless it's close like this, I'm out flying. And there's something about navigation. Everybody say navigation. Navigation. Now I'm going to teach you something here. Navigation. See, navigation is not something that you just get. Navigation is something that you train to do. I remember as a student pilot. A student pilot, when you first get in that airplane, I'll tell you what, it's an awesome, fearful thing. You first get in that airplane, but you've got the instructor right beside you. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so the instructor, he's right there to take over, and if you goof up, he grabs the control wheel there and lands the plane or grabs the throttle and shows you what. If you get flustered and just get all bent out of shape, he's right there. But that day came. And they don't tell you, see, ahead of time. The day came, the instructor said, pull it up over here for a second. I got to use the restroom. So I taxied over there. You know where the restroom was. And he stepped out. He says, hey, while I'm using the restroom, take it around solo for about four times. Slammed the door, locked it, and walked. Off he went. And I was sitting there going, if you don't have your prayer language, that's a good time to get it right there. At least you'll get Shandai or something like that. Shandai. Hallelujah. And so I remember the first time I went out there, and I tell you, I was so nervous, I was talking to myself. I mean, the confession principles, you know, really, I mean, it's kind of like, really, when you're in a desperate situation, you'll find yourself talking to yourself. I was talking to myself, okay, taxi it over to the end of the runway. Run it up. Okay, run it back. Pull it out. Get it straight now. Okay, put it forward. Okay. Pull back. Don't go down. Up. And we went around. Well, in the beginning, you navigate right around the airport. You feel real comfortable as a student if you can be right there around the airport. Let a cloud come between you. You know. There it is. It's still there. Hallelujah. And little by little, they teach you navigation principles. First, they teach you what they call pilotage. That's where you just fly visually. In the Atlanta area, that's what I'm familiar with. There's Peachtree to Cab. There's the Chattahoochee River. There's certain water tanks there. And so you feel comfortable. And it starts getting a little hazy or cloudy. And boy, you rush back to the airport. Before long, point being, now it's nothing for me to jump in the airplane. Used to, you'd figure all your gas. Man, they want you to figure down to the pint and all this stuff. How many gallons and ounces are you burning per hour? And how much you're going to have when you land? And what's the weight of the airplane when you land? Because it's burned off gasoline. Now you just bless God, jump in the airplane, get the chart out, figure out where you're going as you're going. Amen. Praise God. Right, it's nothing for me to get in the airplane and navigate from Atlanta to Topeka, Kansas. Well, had you ever been there before? You don't have to have been there before. You know the principles. You know the way. You know the charts. Are you getting anything out of this? You're making right choices. Now, one of the very important things, I'm teaching you about parallel here, one of the very important things about spiritual navigation. Everybody say spiritual navigation. See, people, oh, Jason, at the enemy, would you pray for me? I need to be a navigator for God. Well, hallelujah. As if I could go, hunga. Okay, you got it. Hallelujah. Did you feel it? Well, I can pray for you, but you're going to have to get out there and fly around the pattern. You will get lost a few times. I'll tell you early on when I'd be flying, and there's something called position awareness. Everybody say position awareness. That's pretty important if you're flying an airplane. You want to know where you've been, where you are, and where you're going. But there will be times early on in flying an airplane that you will lack any position awareness. Meaning you're lost. And you get up there and you're flying around and maybe you're in the haze and in the fog and you're just getting disoriented for a little while. And you look at all the instruments just kind of go bleep. And you're sitting there going, And so you go back to the make sure you're straight and level. Okay, I am straight and level. We're not in an unnatural attitude here. The plane is flying straight and level. And then you figure out where you are and you fix the problem. Everybody say, fix the problem. Now, in flying, you see, if you continue, if you've made a wrong decision, a wrong choice, and you're going the wrong way, you keep going that way, you're not going to get to Topeka, Kansas. You can get out there and just confess all you want, Topeka, Topeka, Topeka. Then you'll land and they'll say, this is Myrtle Beach. No, Topeka, Topeka. Amen. But we get over to spiritual things, and then we get kind of real goofy. Well, I don't know where I am yet. I feel like I'm off course a little bit. Topeka, Topeka, Topeka. No, if you're off course, find out where you are. Land if you have to. Get out and ask the guy, where is this? Now, some of you laugh at that, but every pilot worth his salt has done that at one time or the other early on. You get out and land, and you hope it's printed. Usually it's printed on the building. But there's been times that you just try to act real casual about it. Well, you got a nice airport here. Yeah, we got a nice one. How far is the town from here? About 3 miles down there. Which direction? Well, that way. Uh-huh. What size is your population? Try to get an idea, you know. What's the name of this place anyway? About that time, the guy looks like golly. Hey, I remember one time, this is the honest truth, telling myself here. I remember one time before I had my instrument training, flying everywhere visually, I was flying, going to land in Valdosta, Georgia. Now, there was the airport. I thought that was the airport. I was talking to the right guy. He said, how far are you from the airport? I said, I'm 5 miles northeast of the airport, inbound for landing. He said, well, enter right base for a runway, whatever. I said, okay. So I'll get there. And he said, he comes back, 1419 or X-ray, are you on right base for a runway? I said, yeah, I'm on right base. He said, I don't see you yet. Turn your lights on. I turned my lights on. Now I'm on right base. But the closer I got to this airport, I said, man, there's a lot of planes down there. I said, I didn't think Valdosta had this much activity. Hallelujah. I looked a little closer. I said, those planes are painted funny. I said, look at all that camouflage paint on those planes. Hallelujah. There's a Moody Air Force Base. Moody Air Force Base. And all of a sudden, I saw something going to me. I said, man, these Cessnas fly fast around here. And finally, the guy came back and says, are you sure that you're lined up for the runway at Valdosta? I said, well, I'm making sure. And about that time, I turned and went the other way. It would not be good to land at the wrong place. Everybody say, that's not good? It reminds me of did you hear the florist story about the guy who mixed up the two orders? Two floral arrangements. One was sent by this friend of a friend who was opening a brand new business. You know, big, big hullabaloo. Brand new business. So, boy, I'm going to send nice, you know, balloons and the whole bit. And the other one's going to the funeral. Sad situation. Going to a funeral. Well, the florist got him mixed up, you know. So the guy was at his grand opening and he was all excited, you know. And the knock on it. In walks these guys carrying a big, gigantic funeral arrangement. I mean, the kind that you sit up and the cross on it and the whole bitch, you know. And everybody kind of looks at that, you know. And he goes over and he opens the card. And, you know, it says they had signed the right name, but again, the messages were switched. It's, God bless you. May you rest in peace. He thought, now that's a trick if I've ever seen one. So he goes over to that guy and says, I can't believe you would bring this thing in here, you know. So they call the florist. The florist says, I'm sorry, I have messed up, but you didn't get the worst end of it. You should have seen what we sent to the funeral. And they said the guy was in the funeral, you know, and the family was there and everything, and they brought in this just beautiful bouquet, balloon streamers, you know, the whole bit. And they opened the card up and says, good luck in your new location. Oh, that's a pretty good little story. You make some wrong decisions, you're going to have wrong results. Are you getting anything out of this? Well, if all of our wrong decisions were that funny, it'd be nice, but they're not. You know, there's businesses that don't work out, and it's not funny. Relationships don't work out, and it's not funny. ripple effects hit sometimes children, other family members, associates. But I'm here with good news to tell you. You start making right choices and right decisions, and those ripples will cancel out all the other ones. Amen. Jesus is the God of the resurrection. Amen. Everybody say the resurrection.
Resurrection.
I tell you, some men made some wrong choices, wrong decisions, nailing him to the tree. You can debate all the theology of that, but I'm sure those soldiers, that one that stood there and said, surely this is the Son of God. They had made a wrong choice, a wrong decision. But Jesus, from the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He rose from the dead. And I tell you, if there's ever a message in the resurrection, that's that there can be a new start. There can be a new beginning. The end of the story does not end with a wrong decision, with death. The end of the story doesn't end until resurrection day. That's the end of the story. That's the good news. Amen? How many of you believe that? I want to give you quickly just several things that I believe will help you in making right choices, right decisions. Again, these are simple, but I think as we look at scriptures on them, that allow the Holy Ghost to apply it to your situation, your life. I believe many of you are facing choices right now, decisions. Many times major choices, major decisions. God says there's door A and there's door B. The powers of heaven and earth are waiting in the wings to see what you choose. And when you choose, they'll go into motion to enforce it. Number one, I want you to write this down. How to make a right choice or a right decision. Number one, simply look to God. Be surprised how many people just forget that. Look to God. Go with me to Proverbs 3. Let's look at a verse or so on each one of these. You know, you're facing a decision. Well, should I move now? Should I relocate now? Should I buy this house? Should I buy that house? Should my ministry make this move at this time? Should my child go to this school or that school, or is homeschooling, you know, the way for me? What decision do I make? Because when I make a decision, things are going to happen. I mean, that's just the way this world's set up. Once you make a decision, things are going to happen. And after it happens, you're either going to be happy about it or sad about it. Look to God. Proverbs 3. And let's look at verse 5. You know, it's amazing in talking with people how many times, and I'm talking about good Christian folks, we can get so caught up in the mechanics of a decision, doing the research, maybe, you know, getting all the ducks in order, that finally we realize, man, I haven't even communicated to God about this. Or if I have, it's been so casual, it's worthless. I haven't really looked to God about this thing. You know, I haven't backed up from it long enough to say, hey, okay, I'm inclined to go that way. It seems apparent that that would be right. But I need to look to God about this. Why? Because my brain isn't as smart as I think it is. See, everyone of you in here you're not going to like this, good faith confessing folks, you know. But everyone in here has an infirmity. You're sick. Well, thank you, Jason. I mean, we were going to write that one down. Well, if you're going to agree with the Bible says you have an infirmity. You don't know how to pray as you ought. Isn't that what the Bible says? But God's got the cure for your infirmity. Somebody says, well, how bad is the infirmity? Well, it's not too big. I'm just basically need a brain transplant. Amen. God can cure it with a brain transplant. Hallelujah! The Bible says, put on the mind of Christ. See, God knows more about it than you do. God sees from the beginning to the end and all in between. We've got tunnel vision. We see this and maybe a little bit down the road. God looks up there and He sees from the beginning to the end. And so He says, hey, you look to Me and spend some time with Me. Let My thoughts, which are above your thoughts and beyond your thoughts, let My thoughts come into your brain. See, more technically, you don't need a brain transplant. God uses the same brain. That's an organ. But how many of you know you can have more than one mind? To say, oh, he's out of his mind. You've heard people say that. Oh, he's out of his mind. He's beside himself. See, in that same container can be more than one mind. And there's something called the mind of Christ. How to get tapped into the mind of Christ, the thoughts of the Lord. That's what the Bible calls wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. See, really what we're talking about is wisdom. It's just, you say, making right choices. Well, you can put a lot of definitions to wisdom. Reading the book of Proverbs, you can find many angles to it. But just very simply, I would say wisdom is making right choices and right decisions in life. Dealing wisely in life will bring you good success. That's what Joshua 1:8 says. Joshua 1:8 says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. But the Hebrew there says, then thou shalt deal wisely. If you deal wisely, you have good success. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now would you mark this? Lean not unto thine own understanding. Now notice he didn't say don't use your own understanding. He says just don't trust in your own understanding. You trust in the Lord. Now yes, you use your brain, you analyze it, you make decisions as best as you can, but before the final word is said, you look to God. Everybody say, I must look to God. Verse 6, he says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He, here's what we're after, mark it, He shall direct thy paths. How many of you believe God will direct your decisions and direct your paths? I do. Well, here's a little insight. Start acknowledging Him. Well, Father, I just thank You that before I make this decision, You're going to be involved in this. And I mean, really mean it. Don't just say that religiously. I mean, really mean it from the heart. Now, Lord, I mean, if You're willing, if Your desire is, Jason, I don't want You to do that. And even though I'm inclined to do that, and that's really where my desire is, Lord, if You say otherwise, my heart is to follow after You and obey You, and I'll do it without griping. I'll not do it without griping and complaining. I'll just back up and let her go. Now, you got to get to that point, particularly on major decisions. I mean, there's some decisions I really don't think. I think God just puts it in your hands and says, you made the decision. You know, what car to buy. I mean, I really don't believe God could care less whether you're driving a Lincoln or a Volkswagen. Amen. I've ridden in both of them. Brother Driver and Lincoln and the Volkswagen, but I've been in both of them. And I really don't think God's up there, you know, measuring that. I mean, that's silly little stuff. That's just little stuff to God. I'll tell you, major decisions to God are like what you're doing with your life. Where you're going with your life. Are you plugged into God's will or not? Those are big things. I mean, you go to the store, I don't really believe you stand there, oh God, should I get a green tie or a red tie? Just find one that matches. That'd be a good idea. Amen. Are you getting anything out of this? Husbands, take your wife along. Amen. Praise God. God speaks through them many times. All right. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. See, be not wise in thine own eyes. Mm-hmm. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Ooh, it'll be health to thy navel. Everybody say, my navel. Amen. You'll have a healthy navel. Praise God. You ought to mark that one. Amen. Some of you got sick navels. Amen. Praise God. Hey, you know what that means? It means your whole body. It doesn't just mean your old ugly navel. It means your whole body, praise the Lord. Praise God. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. That'll separate it. Keep reading. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. And thy presses shall burst out with new wine. See, look at verse 9 and go back to verse 5. Trust the Lord with all in heart, lean not to the known understanding. I'll tell you, your own understanding will absolutely tell you don't tithe to your church. Your understanding will absolutely rise up and help you make a wrong choice and say, well, that doesn't mean tithe. We're in the New Testament now. You're not in the law. Don't tithe. Throw in a dollar. Give him a George Washington. That'll help him. Bless God, we don't need any George Washington. We need a bunch of George Washingtons. See, your mind will absolutely stand up and try to argue with you on that. But God's Word says, you honor the Lord with thy substance, the first fruit of thy increase, and He'll bless you. Now, that's contrary to the natural thinking. Are you seeing that? So, you know, start with what the Bible says to do. If you'll begin to obey the choices the Bible already tells you what to do in, then you'll be able to make choices in the things that the Bible is not specific on. Are you following that? You do what's known, and you'll be able to solve the unknowns. But bless God, don't go over there and say, now God, lead me in this great decision, this momentous choice. When you haven't been doing what He's already told you to do. How many of you remember algebra class? How many of you have forgotten algebra class? You erase that from your memory banks. Amen. Well, you remember, this is a tough one now. This is a tough one. Help me solve the problem. 2 plus X equals 4. So X equals... Hallelujah. The wisdom is flowing. So X equals... Hallelujah. The wisdom is flowing. Now you know what they'll teach in algebra class? 2 plus X equals 4. They'll start by teaching you what they call a known and an unknown. They'll say, now the knowns are the 2 and the 4. The unknown is the X. The way that you solve the unknown is you work with the... Oh, hallelujah. Same way with the God. Yeah, you got some unknowns out there. The Bible's not clear on every little thing in your life. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why the voice of God wants to come to you. But it will not come to you on a regular and consistent basis if you're not first dealing with the knowns. The knowns will solve the unknowns. It says, lean not to thine own understanding. All right, number 2. We said, look to God. I think that's the first thing, look to God. This is a very similar one, but it's not the same. Commit to God. Commit to God. Go with me, if you would, to the book of Psalms, Psalms 37. Look to God and commit to God. Now, I know in the first glance you say those seem, you know, one and the same. They're not. Now, I want to say this very delicately and not intending to hurt anyone's feelings or response to God. But as in being in evangelism, let's just call it evangelism. I teach and preach and kind of slip in all those, you know. And most of the time, at least in this country, it's to believers. Other countries, it may be to unbelievers. Let's just call it evangelism. In evangelism, for 12 years now, I've dealt with a lot of crowds, a lot of altar calls, people, all types of needs. And it's an education within itself just to do that. But it's very common. And again, I want to say it's very delicately and not trying to... reproach or sarcastically talk about any group or people. It's common to see at times many people, young people, older people, come to an altar and weep. They've been touched by God and they're looking to God. Follow me now. They'll come to the altar. They are sincere at that time. They're God has dealt with them. And they're coming to the altar and they're weeping. But many times those same people who are looking to God will not commit to God because they'll be at the altar the next Sunday over the next issue, the very same thing. Are you seeing the difference there? And so they've made the first step. They've looked to God. God's dealt with them and they've looked up to God and they're looking in His face. But then when God says, give me that thing, put it on the altar and leave it there. I can't do it. I've got to take it back and carry it for another week. And then when I come back in the next Sunday, now I told you, now you're supposed to give that person up. That person is not right. That's not the one. Quit messing around. Then wonder why they get beat up all through the week. Are you hearing anything I'm saying? And again, see, I'm not making light of altar calls. I believe that the altar call concept is simply a mechanism of response where people's heart is truly dealt by the Holy Ghost, and I believe in them. But we got to get more than just looking to God. We got to commit to God. All right, you've got a decision. You've got a choice to make this week, this month, next month. You've got options before you. You look to God, then you commit to God, and you put that thing on the altar, as it were, and you say, Father, if you want to consume that desire and just burn it up, and that be pleasing to you, fine. On the other hand, if you want to give that back to me in a sanctified form, fine. But God, whatever, I'm your man, I'm your woman, and I'm going to do what you're dealing with me on. Is that making sense to you? Look to God, then you got to commit to God. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. See the desires of thine heart. See, we love that one. Oh, hallelujah. Who give me the desires of thine heart. Well, without being too technical, can I just explain this? You know, there are desires of your own thinking, and then there are desires of the spirit man. Mm-hmm. And I thank God He hasn't always given me my own desires. Or hasn't always given Martha her own desires. Or we wouldn't be married to each other today. Amen. I'll look back in my life and she looks back in her life and we compare notes about the time that God was dealing in the relationship she was in. You were engaged, weren't you? She was engaged. I was in a relationship. This is before we knew each other clear across the country. God was dealing. God was saying, look to me. Commit to me. And just like Jacob wrestled with the angel, that wrestling match was taking place on two sides of the country. Little did she know, little did I even know. And I just give God the glory, because I tell you what, I did not have the strength to make the decision He was requiring of me. I really didn't. I just didn't. But I did have enough sense to look to God and say, God, help me to do what's right. God will pick you up there, amen. And He helped me. And we met and fell in love under the prayer tower at ORU. Hallelujah. Old Roberts University. Under the prayer tower. Supposed to be praying under there. Well, we were praying till we saw each other. Hallelujah. Yes. Thus saith the Holy Ghost. My will stands before thee. Hallelujah. Walking on two legs. Amen. But I look back. So I want to distinguish there. Verse 4. Your desires and the flesh desires, spirit desires. Verse 5. Commit. Now I want you to mark that. Commit thy way. That's what I'm getting at. We said look to God and commit to God. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. He shall bring it to pass. Mm-hmm. You got a decision? You got a choice? Verse 6. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. You see, there are certain principles and rules, if I can use that, of achievement. I mean, there's just certainly, you can go buy some self-help books, and they'll give you some principles, human behavioral observations that will actually allow you to achieve and accomplish your own desires. I said your own desires. And many times you look around and the wicked, they seem to be prospering. You go to Quincy's or wherever, what's the steakhouse here? Is it Quincy's or what's the one up here that you've taken? Huh? So and you're standing in line and you're behind that guy and he's buying number 10. You're trying to see if you got enough change for number 1. Hope I can, we could split it. And point being, your natural mind will start thinking, wow, he's prosperous. He's getting number 15. He's a winner in life. What you may not know is that winner in life, nothing to do with his money. That winner in life may be on his third or fourth marriage. He may have a group of people at his office that hate his guts. Children scattered across the country. He hadn't heard from them in 10 years. That winner. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't measure the way the world measures. And the Lord says, you commit your way to me. Trust in me. I'll bring it to pass. Don't fret yourself and don't get anxious comparing yourself. Verse 8, cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't say, well, it's just not working out, so I'm just going to take it in my own hands. I'm going to do it myself. Don't do that. For evil workers, you got to consider the end. Evil workers shall be cut off. Hell, you see, is their lot. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Isn't that good? Praise God. All right, number 3. Are you getting anything? See, I'm believing you're getting something by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost who can talk to you. Number 3, pursue counsel. Pursue counsel. Go with me to Proverbs 19 quickly. This will be our last verse. Proverbs 19. Pursue counsel. Now folks, this will save you a heap of trouble. Amen? You look to God. You commit to God. And then you pursue wise counsel. Why do you want to pursue wise counsel? Because you don't have all the knowledge that's in the world. This is why you need a good home church like this one. You must have a good home church like this one. You will never flourish as a believer unless you are planted in the house of the Lord. Amen. I don't mean constantly being plucked up, moved from house to house. There may be times and seasons in your life where you're not sure where you're supposed to go and shop around. That's fine. But there will come a time where God will plant you in the house of the Lord. Why? So you can be around all the other plants that are flourishing and cross-pollinate, you see, and receive from them and you put into them. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Wisdom. Everybody say wisdom.
Wisdom.
So you're getting ready to start a business and you come over here to the fellow that started a similar business and you sit down with him and you say, look, I think I've got an idea from God. I really feel it's from God. I'd like to get your input on it. You've been down this road before. And he'll begin to open up and talk to you from the Word of God and from experience where the Word of God has been applied. They'll begin to show you where they blew it. And they, if I had to do it over again, I wouldn't go this way. I'd do it this way. And you listen. Everybody say listen. So you be quick to listen. See, so many missionaries. We have missionaries that come in and we work with them and we help them and try to bless them and encourage them. And we've got a tape set, an orientation tape set where we try to pass on some, can I just use the vernacular here? The tricks to the trade. Everybody say tricks to the trade. You say, well, Jason, do you know everything? I don't know everything. I'm always looking myself to learn. I mean, I know what the Bible says, but having applied that in experience is far different than just reading it out of a book. And so we pass on to missionaries, here's what we have found and others have found works in our culture and in our society when you're trying to generate funds or raise money to go to the mission field. Here's what we found works. Here's what we have found doesn't work. We don't require them, but if they're smart, they'll listen. Everybody say listen. And I can't tell you how many of them I've had either on the telephone or in my office and just sit there. Now, they're right fresh out of Bible school or something of that nature. They haven't even conducted a meeting in a nursing home yet. You know, that's the extent of their totality of wisdom. And they'll sit there and look at me and they'll say, no, here's the way I'm going to do it. That doesn't sound good to me. I'm going to do it this way. And I've just learned to just go, well, when you come back in, I'll beat up by the devil. Maybe you'll listen. See? Are you getting anything out of this? Because I've been down the road of fundraising, and there is a fundraising to the ministry. I don't care if you've got a church. I don't care if you're an evangelist, a missionary. There is a degree of, if you don't like the term fundraising, trusting God for your money. But I guarantee you, God will first, He will draw you to Him, and then He'll send you to the people. That's the way the Bible teaches it. The Bible commands ministers, charge them. Jason, Timothy, Peter, Paul, whoever, I charge you. Go and charge the people that they be not high-minded nor trust in the uncertainty of riches, but you tell them they must be ready to give into every good work. That's what the Scripture says. Now, your flesh doesn't like to do that. So you pass on those tricks to the trade. Proverbs 19. And let's look at verse 20. It says, hear counsel. Everybody say hear. Notice it doesn't say do all the talking. Amen. Some people, they got a motor right here. It never runs out of fuel. Nuclear powered. And it radiates you when you get around them. Hear counsel. Receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. See, God says, I'm really interested in how you end up, not how you start off. Hello? How many successful businessmen launched but failed midway somewhere? Mm-hmm. How many Billy Grahams launched but never made it to the finish line? See? How many God-called and ordained pastors launched but never made it to the finish line? There's this need for a continuing counsel and continuing education and wisdom where you just sit back and listen. Reminds me of in high school, I went out for a track all of about 2 or 3 days. Amen. I played football, and all these guys just run around a track. And I said, man, I can do that. Anybody can run around a track. So I went out there, and they shot. Pew! Out I came. Man, I was burning it up. First day of trials, I burned it up. I left them all in the dust. I said, hallelujah, I found my call. Glory! I ran. I was coming to the finish line. And as I came, I started slowing up. The guy said, 9 more times. I thought you had to run around at once. I said, well, that's the end of my career. Hallelujah. Because these other guys who were pacing themselves. Everybody say pacing. About the second lap. Here they come. Some of them go, Everybody say the end. Verse 21, there are many devices. I believe this. There are many devices in a man's heart. And I promise you, you're the same way. You got many ideas, many inclinations, many feelings about a thing. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, mark it, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Somebody says, oh, I'll listen to God, but I won't listen to anybody else. No, God speaks through people. People. Might be sitting right next to you. They might live in the same house. You say, well, some of the people I live around just aren't so spiritual. You need to listen to God through them. You know how I decided to go to Oral Roberts University? I had applied to Asbury. Anybody ever heard of Asbury College? I think it's Wilmore, Kentucky. My memory serves me right. I'd applied there. Got accepted. Had put our deposit in. Had my roommate's name. Now, during this time of my life, my daddy was an alcoholic. Was not saved. Today's a saved man. Thank God for it. Used to, you know, drink like a fiend and used to smoke. It's one of those people don't blow up, you know, just combustible materials with smoke. And that don't even make sense. It's one of they just don't go, what happened to him? Smoking and drinking. That's what happened. He exploded. Hallelujah. I can remember one night. Now, you know, some of you are saying, well, some of the people I'm around aren't that spiritual. I'll tell you what, God is so powerful, He can speak to a donkey. And it may fit in some cases in your life. Amen. My daddy was stone drunk one night. My family, my mom and dad had gone through a divorce. It was a tragedy. I can kind of a little bit laugh about this time. And it was not funny at the time. And so my daddy and I were just, he said, I'd been already 2 years to a state school and got baptized in the Spirit. Really wanted to get closer to God, you know? And I said, Dad, I don't know. Mate, I don't know if I should go to Asbury or not.
Well, son, the way I see it,
that's a drunk man talking. He said, I'll tell you the way I see it, you don't need to go there. I said, why, Daddy? He said, well, he said, they don't believe the same way you do. Does the Bible say honor your parents? Does it say that? Does it say obey your parents in the Lord? You need to be listening for the Lord.
I'll tell you,
they don't have them tongues like you got them.
He talked about it like that. Now I'll tell you where you ought to go.
I'll tell you where you ought to go. Said, there's a man named Oral Roberts. You know, he says, put the hand on the radio and all that stuff. He said, I'm looking through that catalog the other night. And it says, they're charismaniacs like you are.
I'm telling you the truth. So, you need to go to Oral Roberts University.
I said, but Dad, we've already put the deposit in and you know, I'm already going to Asbury. It's too late.
But don't worry about it.
The morning when I get sober, I'll call him up. And I'll tell you what, when my dad wanted to be forceful in those days, he could be forceful. I won't tell you the totality of what he said. He said, I'll call him up and kick a few of them. We'll get you accepted. I said, you really think so? He said, don't worry about it. The way I'm feeling now, we knew anything.
Hey, you guys laugh at that? That's how I got to Oral Roberts University. I wish I had one of these testimonies. An angel walked into my room. In my mama's womb, the voice of God. Sorry, but it just ain't so. I was looking to God, I was committing to God, and I was receiving counsel. You believe God's big enough to help you? I know He is. Now, there's a dimension beyond this we're going to be talking about tonight, and that's praying in the Spirit. You say, well, you know, we've had a million sermons on that. Well, praise God for them. So many times we don't realize the importance of the praying in the Spirit to helping our understandings get enlightened along that choice and that decision we're about to make. Let's stand to our feet. Praise God. I tell you, my daddy is my best supporter now. And I mean in every way. Financially, encouragement-wise. When I'm down, I call my daddy. He got saved. Have you ever thought this about somebody who said, man, if they ever get saved, it'll take God. I'm not the only one. Have you ever thought that? I used to think that all the time. I'll tell you, if my daddy gets saved, it'll be God. As if that's a big revelation. He got saved. He still smoked. I said, well, bless God. I'll take him just like that. I thought I was making a deal with God. God, if you'll just get him saved, I can live with the smoking. You know what? My daddy don't smoke now. He don't drink. He carries his Bible. When we're together, we talk about the Lord. But I want you to know, God was using my daddy long before he got saved. I'm not saying everything that he did was of God, certainly by no means. But I'm saying out of that, God can work good if we'll look to God and commit to God. You believe that? Let's worship the Lord. Let's sing to him. Thank you, Jesus. With
all my heart. Hello, this is Jason Peebles. I want to thank you for listening to this cassette message. My desire is that our ministry will make a positive difference in your life. I'd like to take a moment to share with you how you can be involved in helping us take God's Word around the world. We are living in one of the most exciting times in history, and it's friends just like you who make it possible for us to reach our generation. Here's our vision in two parts. First of all, Martha and I have the call of God to teach the positive message of God's Word around the world. We've been doing this since 1979, and we're doing it right now through conferences, cassette tapes, literature, and radio. The second part of our ministry concerns missions. You may be less familiar with this part, but our organization serves as the home office for foreign missionaries who are working in many nations. These are full-time families, most of whom have been to Bible school and many to language school, and they are now serving on the mission field through our office. And our missionary agency is continuing to expand. Yet, we realize that there are still millions of people around the world who have not yet been reached for Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to join with us in this vision for reaching around the world with God's Word. The only way that we can accomplish what God has called us to do is through friends just like you. If this teaching ministry has blessed you, and if you feel that God would have you join with us, I'm asking that you take a moment to contact our office and let us know. The easiest way to do it is to simply call our toll-free number and tell one of our secretaries that you desire to become a monthly partner. We will record your commitment and then contact you by mail. You may choose to support us with a certain amount each month, or you may prefer to give variable amounts each month. Whatever you can do will be greatly appreciated. So please prayerfully consider calling us today. You can call us toll-free between 9 to 5 Eastern Time. Call 1-800-832-WORD. That's 1-800-832-WORD. Or you can write to World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box B, Marietta, Georgia, 30061. Together, we can make a world of difference with God's Word. This is Jason Peebles reminding you that there is victory for today.